Bibles and turn to Proverbs chapter 14. Proverbs chapter 14. I am having trouble with my voice today, but if you don't let it bother you, I won't let it bother me. And we'll have a good time looking into God's Word this morning. I did want to make note of, over there on the table, we have a couple things. We've got prayer cards. And if that's something that you like to have, prayer cards, and you would be willing to pray for us every once in a while, we greatly appreciate that. We need the prayers of God's people, and so there's some over there. Feel free to grab one. And then we also have a CD on the table there. It's called Every Knee Shall Bow. And this is my wife and I, and also my sister and her brother. So it's kind of a family CD. Not professional voices, but it is a professional recording. And so avail yourself of that. We do it on a donation basis, so if you want to donate $5 or $10 or something, you can. If you don't have the money and you want one, just take one. We want you to have good music. There's a few songs on there that you won't be able to find recorded anywhere else. There's a couple on there from Majesty Music, the same people that do your hymnals there. I Stand Redeemed from them is on there, as well as Go Ye, a song that we sing from them. And then there's a few on there, like I said, you can't find recorded anywhere else. There's a song, Life Again. It's the second song on the CD done by some friends of ours. That's a good one about revival. There's a song called To God Alone Be Glory, and it's an older song, can't find it anywhere that I know of. And so a few on there like that as well, and if that's something you'd be interested in, feel free to avail yourself of that. Proverbs chapter 14. Let's jump right in. We're going to start reading in verse 12, and I'd like to do this morning. If you're there, if you found it, we're going to read the verse together. We're going to read it together a few times, actually, just verse 12. And as we read it, I'd like you to emphasize I think it's the sixth word there in the verse, but the word seemeth. The word seemeth. And as we read through, would you emphasize the word seemeth? So let's read it out loud together. Proverbs 14, 12. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. I'd like us to read it again, but this time let's emphasize the word man. And there's a reason for this. We'll get to that in a moment. But let's read it again, this time emphasizing the word man, right in the middle of the verse. Proverbs 14:12. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And then one last time, would you read it with me again, and emphasizing the last word of the verse? That's the word death. Let's read it again together. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Let's pray and ask God's help this morning. I need God's help as I preach His word this morning, and you need God's help to teach you this morning as well. So let's pray for that. I'll pray out loud. Why don't you pray quietly and ask the Lord to work in your heart this morning? Father, we do need you this morning. Lord, we come needing to be taught, needing to be encouraged, needing to be convicted. And Lord, I ask that your Holy Spirit would teach us this morning. Lord, I do pray that you would help me to just have clarity of thought and of speech as I preach this morning your word. I pray that your truth would be clearly communicated, and Lord, that hearts would be tender and ready to hear what you have for them this morning. And we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. A couple of years ago, we live now, my wife and I and our kiddo, we live in a fifth-wheel trailer, and we travel around and help churches. We don't have it here this week, which was nice driving without it, but typically that's what we live in. In fact, that's all we live in unless we're in prophet's chambers or people's houses or whatever. But before that, we had an apartment for a short time, and it was kind of a standalone little apartment. I think it was around 900 square feet or something, and it was off a main road, and it was kind of down an alley. So we had been there not too long, but we had been there for a little while. And you have to kind of go out the alley to get to the main road, and then you take a right. And I remember one time I was in my vehicle, and I went down the alley, went up to the road, took a right, got to the first stop sign, took a right. And as I'm going down this road, I see a couple cars coming the other way on the other side and a police officer behind them. Now, if you're anything like me and you're driving and you see a police officer, your heart does a little something. A little pitter-patter. Even if I'm not doing anything wrong, there's still just a little bit of a, you know, do I have a taillight out? Do I have something wrong? I've been pulled over enough for things like that, taillights being out that I had no idea and stuff like that, that I want to avoid it. And so you have that little feeling. But I saw this and I didn't think too much about it other than the little pitter-patter. And so I've kept going. But then I see him turn on his lights. And, of course, the cars in front of him kind of slow down. But he pulls into an alley on my side of the road over here. And again, this is not right near my house. And I thought, well, maybe there's a tree down the alley, you know, something like that. So the cars in front of him kind of slow down a little, and then they slowly keep going, and they go off. Well, I stop because he's kind of in my way a little bit. And so I'm just sitting there. I was on my way to my home church, and I'm sitting there and just kind of waiting. And he gets out of his car, and he starts walking towards my vehicle. I thought, what in the world? So I put it in park, and I roll down my window, and he gets there, and he does the typical. I don't remember exactly what he said, but it was something to the effect of, you know, did you know why I pulled you over or something like that? And I thought, no, I have no idea. And he said, you're driving the wrong way on a one-way street. And I said, oh, I had no idea. Yes, officer, I live right there. Yep. I still didn't know it was a one-way street. And so he takes my license or whatever and goes back to his vehicle. And as he's walking back, thankfully he didn't give me a ticket, but as he's walking back, there's a verse that popped into my mind. You know what verse it was? It was this one. There's a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And again, my situation ended up pretty good. But the truth is, in life, you can think you're going the right way and be going the wrong way. And that's true all over our world today. In fact, as I look at our world today, and you see this too, you look at our world today and you see all sorts of ridiculous laws being passed, ridiculous ideologies, and all of these different things. And you think, how can any thinking person get behind these things? And sometimes you look at the events that are taking place and it boggles your mind. And of course, for me, I grew up in a Christian home and I was saved at an early age. And so I understand that changes your perspective on things when you trust Christ. It does. But even so, I think, man, how can any thinking, logical person get along with what these people are doing? But then I remember this verse. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And if a person is not grounded in truth, if a person does not have their foundation as the Bible, they will be tossed around like a rag doll with every feeling or idea or whatever it may be if they are not grounded in what is true. There's a verse in Psalm 37, verse 23. You've probably heard it before. It's a familiar verse. It says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Now, what does that verse mean? The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Does that mean that God is up in heaven as the puppeteer, and he's making you do every single thing you do? No. Okay. Did God make you sit where he sat this morning? No, he didn't. Did God make you eat Lucky Charms for breakfast? I don't think so. Okay. No, we understand that God gives us something we call free will. Now, do we also understand that God works in a way that we call providence? And he has his ends that he will accomplish, and he's going to accomplish them. We understand that God works in that way too. But what does this verse mean? Okay, if it doesn't mean that God makes you do every single thing you do, and yet we understand that God will accomplish his will, what does this mean when it says that the Lord will order the steps of this good man? The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. I think we can understand it best by saying what it's not saying. Let's reverse it, kind of say the opposite of what Scripture's saying here. The steps of an evil or an unbelieving man are ordered by or directed by himself. How does God direct the steps? How does God direct your steps? Somebody help me out here. How does God direct your steps? Okay, His Word. And He uses His Holy Spirit through His Word. Okay, so those are two big ways in which God directs the steps of a good man. And a good man will look to the Lord and say, where am I supposed to go? How am I supposed to step? What is the next step? Where am I going in life? The good man looks to the Lord for direction so that God will order his steps. What does our world often do? Well, this is what I feel like. Well, this is what I want. This is my truth. How many of you have heard that before? This is my truth. I mean, you have your truth. This is my truth. No, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Hey, there's a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And I'd like to look this morning at two areas in which that verse is reflected. Two areas in which that verse, there's a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Two ways in which that verse is reflected. The first one is this. Man's way in regards to eternity, man's way in eternity equals death. Man's way, man's ideas in regards to eternity will equal death. Many of you who have the opportunity to share the gospel with someone before have had the interaction with somebody where you maybe share something about what Christ has done for them, and they say, yeah, well, I have my own ideas about God. I have my own ideas about heaven and about this and this and this. And you have to kindly explain to them, well, your ideas, what you think or what you want to be true doesn't matter. What is true matters. And you have to share that with them in love. But eternity is a truth. It's not something that's abstract. It doesn't ebb and flow or change. It's a truth. And either there is one way to eternity with God, or there's many ways, or there's no way. But one of those has to be true. And not more than one of them can be true. And we know from Scripture that there is one way. And that way is Jesus Christ. But it's not something that can change and flow. And yet people say, well, I have my own ideas about this, or I have my own feelings about this. And they disregard the fact that there is only one truth. Imagine if that same person, we'll call him Joe. Do we have a Joe here this morning? Okay, we're good. All right. Joe. Joe decides, hey, I'm going to come up with my own ideas about gravity. Okay. And he says, I don't think that gravity exists. And he comes up with the reason. And what's the reason? I don't feel like it should. Okay, and that's Joe's reason. And so he says, I don't think that gravity should exist. And so he calls all the media together and the newspapers, if they have those anymore. And he calls all these people together and he says, I'm going to, on this day, at this time, jump off the Empire State Building. And I'm going to show you that gravity is not real. And so he sets this all up, and here comes the day. The hour has arrived, and he's up on the Empire State Building, and he turns in front of them all, and he gives his great speech about why he doesn't feel that gravity should exist. And he goes up to the edge, and he leaps off. Now, in that moment, when Joe has leapt off the Empire State Building, does his opinion about gravity matter? No. What matters? Whether gravity exists or not. The fact that it is a fact, that it is true, that it's science, that gravity does exist. That, in that moment, is what matters. Now imagine the foolishness in the same way of saying, well, I feel like this should be the truth about God, or I feel like this should be, and basing often their decision about eternity on nothing more than their own opinion. Friend, how many of you know that your own opinion leads you astray sometimes? Yeah. How many of you have thought you were dead right about something? You were dead sure, and you found out later, that was wrong, actually. Yeah, we can be convinced of something sometimes and realize, I was wrong in what I thought. What do we need to rely on? We need to rely on something that's never wrong. Something that is the foundation for what we will believe in. But man's way, man's ideas, the opinions that he can come up with regarding eternity will lead to death. Now, what are some of these ways that lead to death that mankind has come up with? How about this one? All roads lead to God. You ever heard that one before? Or in some fashion? All roads lead to God. Somebody help me out. What's a verse that clearly tells us that's not the case? Okay, John 14:6. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. That's very exclusive. It's the only way. I am the only way. And yet we find people all over the place who will say, well, it doesn't matter by what way you come, whether you believe in the Bible or karma or some other higher being, as long as your heart is turned towards God, then it'll all be okay. Friend, Jesus said that's not the case. He said, there is one way. I'm that way. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Yet man has this idea that all roads lead to God. I remember I was talking not too long ago to a man in my hometown of Franklin there in Indiana. And I was at a gas station, and I'm pumping gas, or I'm about to, and I hear, hey, from like three pumps over. Now, usually, that's not a good start to a conversation, okay? And so he yells at me, and he starts walking over towards me, this guy. I'd never seen him before. And he starts walking over, and he's carrying something. And he gets closer to me, and he wants me to buy his headphones, okay? Long story, he had been at a men's mission, and he was kind of down in life and gotten in the wrong crowd and all sorts of you know the whole story. And so he wanted me to buy his headphones so he could get some money. And anyway, but we get into a conversation and start talking to him about Christ. And he mentions that he's not sure he can believe in God basically because of all the bad things that are happening. Perhaps you've heard similar before. And I start talking to him some more, and he tells me about this man that he heard about, someone in mainstream so-called Christianity, that said basically the same thing. It doesn't matter which way you come, whether it's Buddha or this is you know, as long as your heart's turned toward God or whatever, then you're fine. You'll go to heaven one day. And he was asking me about that. And of course, I shared the scripture with him. Jesus didn't say that. And there's people who say, well, if you go by Jesus or Buddha or whatever, it's fine. Yet Jesus clearly said, no. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Yet man comes up with all these ideas. Man's way will lead to death. What are some other of man's ways that lead to death in regards to eternity? How about this one? There is no God. You've heard this before. It's the atheistic argument. What's Scripture say about that? The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. How about this one? I think this is the one I've heard the most in dealing with people. If I'm good, and I hear it in different ways, but if I'm good enough, God has to accept me. Maybe you've heard, you know, if I do more good than bad, you know, my good works outweigh my bad works. And we frame it in all sorts of different ways, but the idea of being a good person means that God will accept me. Yet we see again in Scripture, clearly not the case. All my righteousness, all the good things I can do, they're filthy rags before God. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And typically what we like to do is we like to look down the road and say, well, Joe, he did this, and I've never done that. Or here's these people in prison, they're murderers. Never murdered anybody. Or we say, well, here's what this person did, and I've never done that. I go to church. I give money to the charities. You know, I'm a pretty good person. I try to be nice to people. And we come up with all these things, and we think because we've done all these things that we somehow merit goodness, righteousness in God's eyes. But friend, that's not the case. You and I are sinners. And there are so many in our world today that do not understand this. They are trying to live life, trying to be good people, trying to get to heaven on their own. And Scripture is very clear. There's only one way, and that's through Jesus. The Bible tells us that we have come short of the glory of God. God is perfect. He is holy. He is sinless. You and I are not. We've messed up. We've missed the mark. I was talking to a group of kids a while back, and I don't usually do this when I'm talking to a group of people. But I started going through different things that the Bible says are sin, and I actually asked them to raise their hand if they've ever done these things. Again, I don't typically do that. I won't do that this morning. But I did that with these kids, and you know, how many of you have ever lied? How many of you have ever cheated? How many of you have ever stolen? All these things, just start going through things. And of course, the kids, they have no inhibitions, and they're just like, yep, I've done that. We can readily admit, okay, I've messed up. I've done things that are wrong. I've done things, I've thought things. I've said things that are wrong. God is holy. We are not. Heaven is a perfect place. There's no sin there. Scripture tells us of Jesus Christ. In Him is no sin. And yet we have sin. And that separates us from God. And that is why God sent Jesus Christ down here to earth. The Bible says that Jesus Christ came to give Himself a ransom. What does that mean? We have sin. What the Bible tells us the punishment for sin is? Death. Not just physical death, but eternal death. The second death. Separation from God forever. The punishment that our sin demanded was death, but it was the death of a spotless lamb. Something that you and I could never pay for. In fact, we would spend eternity not being able to pay for. But Jesus Christ came down to earth. And I love this verse. It's 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21. It says, for He, God the Father, hath made Him, Jesus Christ, to be sin for us, who knew no sin. He never sinned before. That we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. So here we are, sinners deserving punishment. Jesus became our ransom. He was the spotless lamb. He paid the price on the cross for our sin and made the only way that you and I can get to heaven. No matter how many good things we try to do, we're still sinners. The Bible says in James chapter 2 and verse 10, "For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he's guilty of all." It doesn't matter. You say, "But I haven't done this," or "I'm better than so." It doesn't matter. We've all fallen short, every one of us. But Jesus provided the way. Yet man feels that he has to make his own way. Man's way in regards to eternity will end in death. Secondly, this morning, I'd like you to notice that man's way in regards to life, not just eternity, but life here on earth, ends in death. Now, not necessarily death in the same respect that we just spoke about it. If you've trusted in Christ, you will not be in judgment for eternity. You will be with Him. But friend, may I tell you can waste your life. Even after trusting in Christ, you can waste away your life. You can spend it for yourself. You can save your life, as Mark chapter, I think it's chapter 8 says it, but you'll lose it. You can live a life that was worthless for Christ. Man's ideas, man's way in regards to life ends in death and ends in ruin. May I ask you, who directs your life? Your activities, your time, your relationships, your work, what you do, where you go, all of these things. Who is the one who directs your life? Are your opinions and your practices, what you do, are they correct? You say, well, of course they are. They're my ideas. Of course they're right. Are they correct? Are they biblically based? As Christians, we ought to live a philosophy-driven life. You say, what does that mean? Here is what the Bible says, therefore this is what I will do. That's a philosophy-driven life. Here is what Scripture says, therefore this is what I will do. And that is the way that we ought to live. And if we'll live that way, we won't be pulled all the time by our feelings or our opinions. We'll be settled on the Word of God. And friend, that is what you and I need to be doing. See, the way of pleasing our flesh, the way of foolishness, the way of ignorance, it seems right to that person. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Proverbs 12:15 says, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes. Say, well then, okay, Brother Andrew, how do I know if I'm a fool? If I'm living like a fool? If the way of the fool seems right in his own eyes, how am I supposed to know whether I am being a fool in what I'm doing? It's very simple. Fools either ignore or reject what God has said. They either ignore it or they reject it. They come up on a situation in life and they say, okay, here's what I'm faced with. What decision am I going to make? A fool will say, I'm not going to look at the Bible and see what it says. I think this is what I should do. That's what a fool does. Or a fool, on the other hand, rejects it and says, I know this is what the Bible says, but I'm going to do this. Now, that seems harsh to us, but friend, can I tell you, we do that sometimes. We may phrase it different in our minds so we feel better about it, but we still do it. We think, well, I know the Bible says this. I know it's a good principle. But in this situation, I think it'll work out better. Just this once, you know, I know generally, you know, and we frame it however we can feel better about ourselves, but we reject what God has said. Friend, can I tell you, if we're doing that, we're acting like a fool. As I was thinking about this verse in Proverbs here, the verse 12, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. I started thinking about what areas in life we have a tendency to think our own way and reject God's way. What are some areas in which we easily fall prey to thinking our own ideas instead of following the Lord's commandments? Here's one I thought of. Saving money instead of giving, and I'll have more. You ever thought that before? Logically, by the way, that makes sense. If I keep my money and I don't get rid of it, I will have more, right? That makes sense to us. But friend, can I tell you, that's not the way God works. That's not the way God's economy works. And we have to believe that by faith, by the way. Proverbs 11, just a few chapters back, tells us that the person that disperseth, he scattereth, he gives things to other people, he'll be blessed. He'll have what he needs. But the person that keepeth to himself tends to poverty. That's what it says. Now, that doesn't make sense to us. But like I tell you, that's what the Bible says. Man's opinion says, no. If I keep my stuff, then I'll have more. God says, no, you give as I direct you and you'll have what you need. What are some other ways in which God's economy works different than we might be tempted to think? Now, how about this one? Lying to get myself out of trouble will turn out better for me. Now, again, we might not say that, but sometimes we can think it. You get a little kid who thinks, well, let's forget little kids. We're adults in here. You're at work and something happened on the books or something happened and you think, man, if I just tell this little white lie to my boss, it'll get me through this situation. I'm not hurting anybody by what's going to take place here, but it'll just solve a lot of paperwork and a lot of other stuff. I just tell them this little thing and it'll smooth it over and then I'll go back to telling the truth again. It'll work out better. Can we be tempted to think that way sometimes? We can be, and yet that's not the way God works. In fact, lying is an abomination to Him, and He rewards righteousness. Man's way leads to ruin every time. And how about this one? Seeking pleasures will make me happy, but serving God sounds really hard. Can I tell you that the majority of Christians are in that boat? My hand's up sometimes, okay? We think, man, if I just do what I feel like I want to do, then I'll be happy, right? But have you ever had the experience of thinking, man, this is what I want, and you go after it and you pursue it, and it ends up being empty? Yeah, I'm thankful for Solomon. In the book of Ecclesiastes, we see somebody who, he was a king, he had money, he had the position, he had the wealth, he had whatever he wanted to get what he wanted. If you look at chapter 2, you see him saying, I got this, I made this, I had this. He goes through this whole list of things. I got all this stuff. And he gets to the end of the, towards the end of the chapter, and he says, well, he says this first, he says, whatsoever mine eyes desired, I kept not from them. That sounds pretty nice. If I wanted something, I could have it. That sounds nice to us. And yet, what's he say at the end of the chapter? He looked on all the works his hands had made and all this stuff, and all was vanity and vexation of spirit. It was empty. It was worthless. Friend, you can spend your whole life seeking your own pleasure. Ah, man, this would be nice. This sounds fun. This is what I want to do. And it will leave you empty every time. The only thing that satisfies is surrender to Him. It is. And we have to remind ourselves of that because our world will not remind us of that. Our world is constantly pumping, you need this. You need this. Buy this. Get this. Do this fun thing. And it's not that God doesn't give us enjoyable things to do, but if you pursue comfort, pleasure, all of these things, you'll be empty. You will be. It may have some fun for a moment, but you'll be left on the other side feeling worthless and empty again. The only thing that satisfies is serving the Lord. That's what brings joy. We could go on and on and on this morning of all these different areas that man tends to think this way, and yet God works this way. Would you be honest with yourself this morning and just think, what are some areas in my life right now that I'm living by my opinion and not what God has said? Maybe it's something that the Holy Spirit's already pointed out to you and you've been rejecting it. You've been saying, no, I just want to keep doing this. I just want to keep doing this. Would you be honest this morning if that's the case with you and give that to the Lord. Say, God, I don't want to live this way. I don't want to live by my opinion. I want to live by what you've said. Maybe you just open your heart to the Lord this morning and say, is there any area that is like that right now that I've been blind to? God, show me where what I am doing is not lining up with what you have said. Man's ideas in regards to life end in death. There's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Proverbs chapter 12. Verse 28 says this, in the way of righteousness is life, and in the pathway thereof there is no death. Wow, what a contrast. What a contrast to the verse we've been looking at. Hey, man's way, what's that lead to? Death. What's in the way of righteousness? Life. And then he goes on and further clarifies it. And in the pathway thereof, there is no death. And lastly this morning, number three, if you're taking notes, God's way for us is life. God's way for us is always life. How many of you have ever loaned somebody a tool? Anybody? Okay, a few people. maybe you've loaned somebody a tool before, and you gave them this tool, and you come back later, maybe you gave it to them, you left, you come back later, and you see them, and they're using it wrong, right? They're not using the tool right. How many of you know what a reciprocating saw is? Anybody? Yeah, sawzall. If you don't know what it is, they're either you plug them in, or, you know, electric, or they have battery-powered or whatever. I don't know if they have gas-powered ones or not. But anyway, basically, you hold the trigger down, and there's a little saw blade at the end that goes back and forth, and it cuts stuff a lot easier than you can by hand. And so imagine I loan somebody this tool, and you give them the saw, and I leave them, and I come back, and they're over here trying to cut through this tree limb or whatever, and they're over here going like this. Just going back. They're not using the button. They're just going back, and they're working up a sweat, and man, they are tired. And I come over here, and I'm watching, and I'm trying not to laugh because they're obviously not using it right. But I don't want to be unkind, and so I'm watching them, and you know, come up, hey, you know, can I show you something? You know, all you have to do is press the trigger here, and just, you know, maybe a little pressure, and it'll cut right through it. Okay? And they do it, and of course, it works like a charm. And they're like, wow, I wish I'd known that before. You know, and they go through this whole thing, and we look at that, and we think, man. What a doofus. You know, why didn't he know how to do that? Friend, we do that in the Christian life sometimes. God's way for us is life. It's joy. It's peace. And what do we often live in? Discouragement, depression, fear, worry, all of these different things. Why? Because we live by our own opinion. We live by what we feel like. We live by... I don't think that, no, what does God say? And oftentimes we're missing the way of life that God has given us. Maybe not in regards to eternity, but even just while we're here on earth. My way always tends towards death. It does, and ruin. God's way is always life. What do the familiar verses in Proverbs 3 tell us? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. And then the next verse after that, we don't always read it with it. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from you. Don't trust yourself. Certainly don't trust your feelings. What do we trust? What God has said. His word is a lamp unto my feet. It's a light unto my path. This morning, if God has worked in your heart, about a certain issue, perhaps, a certain thing that you recognize in my life. Yep, I've been living by my opinion. I've been living my way and not God's way. Would you recognize your way leads to ruin and death? It does. But also recognize that God's way leads to life. God's way is always best. And I know this is not anything new, but it's a needed reminder. God's way is always best. And in that area that God's speaking to you about, would you commit this morning, God, I'm not going to live by my ideas anymore. I'm going to live by what you've said in your word. Father, would you help us in this matter?